I'm going to share with you today Pastor April's words. So I apologize if it looks like I'm reading. It's because I am. We could open almost any page in the Bible and find a picture of how God cares for us. Today we're going to look at a very small section of the Hebrew Testament, a book of prophetic writings called Haggai. In addition to reminding us about God's care for us, the message contained in these two pages reminds us of the significance of our care for God. I'm going to start by reading the heart of Haggai's message, and then I'll give you a little background. This is Haggai chapter 1, verses 13 to 15. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke to the people with the Lord's message, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of all the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the month, in the sixth month. I am with you. That's the most profound message of care there is. Whatever you're going through, I'm right here with you. It's coming from God to the people at a time when the people have forgotten or neglected to care about God. The backstory is that the temple, the one place of worship, had been destroyed years ago by the Babylonians, and the people had endured a lengthy time of exile from their homelands. More recently, as powers and kingdoms shifted, the people had been allowed to return to their own country. They quickly set about rebuilding their homes and replanting their fields, but so far they had not given any attention to rebuilding God's temple. Haggai's first task was to call the people to account. Think now, says Haggai, you've done a lot of work, but how are things really going for you? Consider how you fared. And this is chapter 1, verse 6. You've sown much and harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And you that earn wages to put them in a bag with holes. Perhaps understandably, the people have been strictly focused on their own survival, or maybe they're angry with God because of all they've been through. But the result is that they're ignoring God. They're more or less spinning their wheels. Look, says Haggai, speaking on behalf of God, it's time to tend to God's house. It's time to make a place for God in your lives again. It's time to get back into right relationship with God. This call to honest assessment, combined with the reminder that God is still with them and cares how they're behaving and how they're faring, inspires and motivates the people. They begin to work diligently on the reconstruction of the temple. It's not long, though, before the people are discouraged again. The problem is that some of them can remember how spectacular the previous temple was before the Babylonians knocked it down and burned it. It had been made of the finest materials and had been richly decorated. The new building going up doesn't look so good in comparison. The people don't have nearly the resources they once did. So through Haggai, God speaks to the people again. And this is chapter 2, verses 3 through 7. Who is left among you that saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Is it not in your sight as nothing? Yet now take courage, O Zerubbabel, says the Lord. Take courage, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Take courage, all you people of the land, says the Lord. Work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts, according to the promise that I made with you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit abides among you. Do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once again in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all the nations, so that the treasure of nations shall come, and I will fill this house with splendor, says the Lord of hosts. Take courage. Don't give up. I am with you. I've saved you from desperate circumstances before. My spirit is among you. Things are going to get better, you'll see. Though our attentiveness to God may come and go, God's care for us is unflagging. When we respond to God and begin to return that care, God is able to work in us and through us in increasingly powerful ways. The act of filling out an estimate of giving card is not unlike making a decision to help rebuild God's house. It's a way of saying, I care about you, God. I care about your people. I care about your work in the world. I care that people have a place to meet you and worship you. I want to honor you, not neglect you. because I've learned that when I neglect you, my life doesn't really go the way I want it to. Filling out an estimate of giving card is something we can do only with God's help, because God is already with us and giving us courage. Just as the people of God 2,500 years ago in Haggai's time were only able to start building and only able to keep building because God was there with them, inspiring them and encouraging them. We decide to give of ourselves to God's purposes because God is inviting us to do so and making it possible for us to do so with these wonderful words, "I am with you, my spirit abides among you." Making a decision to honor God, serve God, and to give to God can become an amazing foundation for a rich life of faith. John Ed Matheson tells the story of an elderly saint in his congregation who revealed to him how this works. He was opening the church early one Sunday morning, wondering whether the severe ice storm blanketing the city would allow anyone else to make it to worship, when he looked up to see Miss Lucille coming up the steps. "I didn't expect to see you here today," he exclaimed. "Why not?" she asked. "Well, it's so icy, and you have to have somebody drive you, so I thought you'd decide not to come." She fixed him with a look. "John Ed," she explained, "I didn't decide this morning to come today. If I had waited until this morning to decide, I wouldn't have come. It's too cold. But you see, I decided last November, when I turned in my commitment card, that I'd be here 48 Sundays. I know which four I'm going to be out of town, and this isn't one of them. I decided last November that I'd be here this Sunday in February." When we make a decision and a plan, we're a lot more likely to follow through than if we just wait for circumstances to be right. As Haggai taught the people of his time, the circumstances don't have to look right for you to start serving God. If you wait for everything until everything in your life is perfect and you've accumulated a big pile of excess gold, it's never going to happen. The thing to do is to decide to take action right now, to start building a place for God in your life right now. Even though at first it may not seem all that beautiful or all that impressive, God is already with us and will bless our efforts so that one day our faith and the visible expression of our devotion will be all that we and God have dreamed it can be. An estimate of giving card really is a demonstration of caring, because it says, "Here's what I'm able and willing to contribute to the projects and the tasks and the worship life and the relationship building that God has in mind for us in the year to come." It's a way of saying yes and thank you to God's care for us, just like baptism, just like singing hymns and songs of praise, just like prayer. Estimate of giving cards went out in the mail this week. If you didn't receive one, that's okay. There's one in your program this morning. Another scripture reading for us to consider is from Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. And I believe it'll contain some good news for us. "He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income.' But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but he was beating his breast and saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted.'" The good news is that you can't buy your way into heaven. The door to heaven is opened purely by grace, God's grace and mercy. The good news is that giving a portion of your income does not make you holier than others. So if you're thinking that you had to make an estimate of giving to impress somebody, you can quit worrying about that. The only people who will see your estimate are the two financial secretaries, and their job is to keep the records that you might need and to assure you that your money is going where you mean it to go. The good news is that giving, just like all other practices of faith, is not meant to make us judgmental toward others and boastful of ourselves. Judgmentalism and boastfulness will not put us right with God. The practices of faith actually are supposed to be about teaching us to trust in God, to keep our eyes on God, not on whether we're going to do better or worse than our neighbor, The practices of faith, including giving, are not meant to be a contest with winners and losers. They're meant to be humble habits that draw us closer to God. What's going on between each one of us and God? Only God is in a position to know. External trappings are not necessarily an indicator of worth. God gives us our worth, and what we give to God is between us and God. God alone knows our hearts. Since then we are relieved of the fears that others at the church would be foolish enough to be judging us, or that there is something that we have to do to earn God's grace, we're free to ask ourselves, why should I make an estimate of what I'm going to give to God through the church? By way of suggesting an answer, here's another story. Jody Williams first learned about landmines when she traveled to Nicaragua and Honduras, and that children who had lost arms and legs when they had inadvertently stepped on or touched landmines that had been left in the fields near their homes. Landmines, she discovered, were a weapon of war, which remained long after the war was over to wreak destruction on innocent lives. Almost 20 years ago, Jody attended a meeting at the Washington, D.C. office of the Vietnam Veterans of America Foundation. And at this meeting, the international campaign to ban landmines was born. When we began, we were just three people sitting in the room, she remembers. None of us ever thought we would ban landmines. I never imagined that it could happen in just 6 years. But it did happen, thanks in large measure to Jody's determination and resolve. By using the Internet as a tool, Jody and the others who worked with her were able to accomplish in 6 years what many large organizations, including the United Nations, had been unable to bring about in decades of efforts. By December of 1997, the ban on landmines was signed by 121 countries. It's breathtaking what you can do when you set a goal and put all your energy into it, says Jody. It's breathtaking what you can do when you set a goal and put all your energy into it. That's really what an estimate of giving is, a goal which can inspire your efforts toward tremendous accomplishments. The church sets goals of what we want to do in ministry in the name of Jesus Christ, and we plan as realistically as we can what that ministry is going to cost. When individuals, families, and couples share with our financial secretary information about what they hope to give to and for God in the name of Jesus Christ, then we can see if there's a match in our goals. Sometimes adjustments to the grand design are necessary, other times not. The most exciting miracle is when the church leadership realizes that we might be able to go farther toward our goals than what we initially expected. What we can do as a church is really a matter of what each of us wants to do individually, put together, and given direction and focus. It is breathtaking what you can do when you set a goal and put all your energy into it. The renovations of our facilities, the growth in numbers of participants in our ministry with children and youth, the spirit-filled musical and dramatic presentations, the ongoing willingness to feed hungry people and provide a link to medical care are a few of the accomplishments which have taught us that what Jody says is true. Setting a goal can be the first step to remarkable achievements. Of course, we would add that it's not just our own energy, but the grace and guidance of God that has made our ministries possible. We turn now in prayer to the God who loves us always and wants to bless us by incorporating us into God's holy work of redemption and salvation. Holy God, as we look to the week now past and the week ahead, we realize that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, saints living and saints gone before us, who can help us as we seek for faith-filled models of who we want to be. All Saints' Day has passed, and we remember those who paved the way for us, those who loved us and taught us and encouraged us to be our best selves. Veterans Day is before us, and we remember those who fought and died for the cause of security, justice, and peace. We honor all those who have decided that service will define their lives. We pray for the day when all wars shall cease, and your people everywhere can live in peace and unafraid. Generous and gracious God, as we move toward a time of year that invites us to heightened thankfulness, We are grateful to be a part of the ministry of your church, and we pray that you would guide us in the question of who we want to be as it relates to our support and participation in Christ's work here on earth. Your word declares to us that perfect love casts out fear, and we hold in our hands this week the opportunity to respond to the invitation to joyful mission. Cause us to feel embraced by your perfect love and guided by its light. We know, Lord, that you have entrusted us with resources needed to carry out your ministry. So help us freely to share those resources into your blessing, that your people might be fed and healed and set on a path of life-giving compassion, community, and hope. We join now our voices in prayer, in the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.